Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We can't hear you, Kate. You got yourself muted. You should probably unmute yourself. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. I've got a cowboy hat on because The Rock wore a cowboy hat today. And in true Rock fashion, I am going to pop up on a show in which I created but no longer appear on. And I'm going to drone on for about 10 minutes. I just want to tell you guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We had some Rock Hall of Fame news today. He is heavily influential in the Hall of Fame selections this year. We had the WWE SmackDown plans. We're going to have producers, backstage news. Corey Brennan's going to have some NXT news tomorrow. This week, we had news that Santana had left AEW. Sammy Guevara suspended. Matt Hardy, his contract is up. Man, several people. I think Steve Macklin confirmed one of our reports this week as well, in addition to a wealth of news. All that and my Q&A show today, as well as access to our Fightful Select Discord, exclusive for Fightful Select subscribers. We got a Q&A field that goes constantly over there. We hung out, watched Francis Ngannou get knocked out today. We're going to watch UFC 299 tomorrow. Howdy, Kate.
Yeehaw. Hi, Sean. I am unmuted now, yeah. But thank you so much for joining us for the SmackDown Post Show. Get in those super chats and humper chats. Happy International Women's Day to all the gals out there. Mm-hmm. Well, let's do what we usually do and sum up this incredibly long segment from The Rock, and then we can get into some super chats and humper chats. But if you want Sean's ear on something else, you can, of course, ask him other things.
Somebody super chat for me to take this hat off.
No, nope,
off
don't do
is
that.
The direction in which I would like this hat to fuck.
No, nope. You guys dare do that.
Do you know why
I have this hat?
No, why would we?
Okay, I have this hat for a skit that Shaza completely rejected.
Oh,
she's a smart woman.
Because she said we would get canceled for it. I don't think we would. Now, keep in mind, this is before the MJF, Adam Cole, Aussie Open stuff. I bought this hat and a jacket that looked just like JBL's, and I was going to pretend I was at the Australia-America border, just like JBL did with Eddie Guerrero in Mexico, except it would be completely landlocked, and it would be the parking lot of an Outback Steakhouse. And I would talk about how I knew that Shaza would be coming across that border soon. And Shaza would actually walk behind me in a kangaroo onesie. And I'd be like, is that her? And she'd be like, no, I'm a kangaroo mate. And then walk past me. I wanted to go full Elmer Fudd, Bugs Bunny with this. And she didn't do it. She didn't do it.
I will say, I don't think you would have gotten canceled for it.
I don't think so either.
I think that would be fine. But let's get in to this Cody, Seth, Dwayne, Roman segment that closed out the show. We got an entire segment of just entrances, except, of course, Seth Rollins doesn't get him because he is just the long-lost child in all of this. But
to save people some money, people are asking, like, what's going to open night one of WrestleMania? It'll just be the entrances to this match is what it will be, and that will be the full night one. People are like, why haven't they announced this? Why haven't they announced that? Well, that's because these entrances will take 45 minutes each.
Yeah, that'll be a time limit draw of just entrances. I'm looking very forward to that. But we have Cody off the bat asking The Rock if he has the authority to make the stipulations that he presented, because he acknowledged Roman as the tribal chief last week. Very proud of Cody for not saying, do you have the balls in this family or does someone else? Like, I like that he actually kept it on track here. But The Rock says that's what family does. And then Cody's about to accept this challenge. The Rock cuts him off. And he tells Seth not to talk before he even says anything. If I hear another walking clown emoji joke, I'm going to vomit. But instead,
we heard it the first time.
What'd you say?
We heard the joke the first time for sure.
We sure did. And the five extra times after that. But we get The Rock just kind of reiterating the stakes. And Seth interrupts him to the sound of diarrhea chants, which is just a beautiful thing here. But Seth actually had my favorite part of this promo, saying The Rock, telling The Rock that we, damn it. No, super chat to keep the hat on.
No, sorry, Vicky. Vicky, help me out. She says SRS, the hat must go, clashes with the shirt, my Cincinnati Mighty Ducks shirt.
Vicky, I thought you were my friend. It is International Women's Day, and you are taking Sean's side here. Anyway, diarrhea chants break out. We get Seth interrupting The Rock, saying that we know the stakes, Dwayne, to which was a merciful call on his point, because that was going on for a long time. He calls him Mr. Midlife Crisis and said, you've had your time, but you can't have ours, which I liked a lot. And he goes to accept the challenge that's been laid out, to which Roman counters by saying, you're just going to let Seth answer for you, which I really, really liked. We get the clown emoji joke here. And The Rock kind of reiterates his TKO authority and says that Cody can't challenge for the belt again if he loses. Does some family math and calls Cody a mistake, which leads to a retaliation slap. The slap that Chris Rock never got on Will Smith here, but that was kind of our closing segment in a nutshell. So it's official now. We have our night one and night two of WrestleMania kind of clarified. I'm imagining both of those will main event for sure. The entrances will open the night, as you said, but I think we'll probably get that tag match night one of WrestleMania, setting up and determining what happens in night two. Feels like there's two different directions that they can go with this. And we did talk about this a little bit last week, but if you have bloodline rules here, if you have them win, you probably get a whole host of characters coming out of Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn. Maybe CM Punk is using his one good arm to throw a punch here or something. We get the crew that has been wronged by Roman along the way coming out to probably equalize the rest of the bloodline. Or what would be really cool would be if they could have just a clean match. That would be my preference. The chat also mentioning it is worth noting because it did frustrate a lot of people that The Rock called Seth Rollins a cross-dresser. We've heard this week after week two of him saying he's wearing his wife's clothes and all this kind of stuff, which feels like outdated heel work to me, but I like the rest of what The Rock is doing with a lot of this. But that's kind of what we get. Sean, do you have any thoughts about what direction you think they'll go? Seems like this whole reign has been about overbooking, so it kind of feels like that's the way to go here.
Oh man, I got a lot of thoughts on this. First, Ryan Best says, my heart goes out to anyone who likes to cross-dress. Y'all are badass. Roman Reigns sucks. Yeah, not a good line there. He was like, you're going to take advice from this cross-dresser. And I know that there are people that are like, really, the cancel culture era. No, it was very clearly meant to minimize or diminish the importance of anyone who chooses to do that. And I don't find that cool, to be honest with you. So, that was very lame. Seems like The Rock's rubbing off on him a little bit. And the reality is neither one of those two men in The Rock or Roman Reigns need to say shit like that in order to be entertaining. They're both supremely entertaining and talented guys. So, I mean, this is definitely a new direction for WWE, because listen, this is not even on like the list of 100th craziest thing I've seen under the TKO banner in the last year, because sure. Sean Strickland was running around saying crazy bullshit all year. But still disappointing to see, because you never know how it affects someone until you know someone that it affects. So I understand that there are a lot of people that are like, I had people saying, don't overblow this. And I said exactly what he said. And somebody goes, you know what you're doing. Yeah. I posted exactly what he said. Mm-hmm. That's it. But anyway, the direction of this specifically, I think that they're doing such a good job making you guess whether or not The Rock and Roman Reigns are going to win, and it will be just complete bullshit mayhem Sunday night, which give me that at this point. Give me the most overbooked crazy bullshit, because that's what the entire Bloodline thing is about. It's about crazy overbooked bullshit and interference and all that. That's been the Bloodline. Or it can also be satisfactory in the sense that the Bloodline aren't involved whatsoever. So I think they've erected a pretty great series of circumstances here to where, honestly, I kind of want the crazy bullshit to happen. I kind of want all the crazy stuff, because what I want is Solo to show up. Well, there's Seth Rollins taking him out. Well, Jimmy Uso shows up. Jay knocks him out. The Rock comes out and then turns on Roman Reigns, maybe something like that. Like, there are so many possibilities there. And, like, listen, I'm not looking for a 17-star Tokyo Dome Classic out of Rock and Roman Reigns. I'm looking for something crazy, entertaining, where I go, oh, I thought that was it. Oh, I thought that was it. No, I thought that was it. And then Cody Rhodes holds the title up. That's what I want out of that. I think they put themselves in a really good position.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like there's this unresolved loose end on why did Cody give up that position in the first place. They hinted at resolving that.
He gaslit him.
And
just like I gaslit you into hosting this show every week.
Well, that is
you
for
are
sure.
The host of the A Show, the highest rated show in WWE. And I gave you this opportunity to sacrifice your social life on a Friday. I gave you this opportunity.
Well, I'm out here getting
to take
paid,
the reins to be the lead of Fightful on screen. How could you pass on that? See, I just gaslit you.
Wow.
I didn't want
well,
to work Fridays.
Damn.
I am out here making money, and I'm also making money for us, because more loving thoughts about my hair. Hi, favorite post show. So that's how well I've done since you gave me this opportunity. But Kate, your hair looks amazing. Sean, that sure is a hat. Alex, looking for the spooky Scottish witches well in my 2K.
At least someone is.
Favorite time of the year. Now, the women's tag picture is a little lost. And one of my frustrations with this episode was the lack of women's wrestling. We had 2 minutes and 24 seconds. Comparatively, though, we only had 28 minutes of wrestling on the show. So
yeah, it was crazy.
Not terribly surprising. We did get multiple women's segments. Man, normally we get a lot of Bloodline chats, but a little bit more spread out today. We do get this, though, saying, what if the twist to the story, to Cody's story, ends up being with Rollins turning on Cody after The Rock turns on Roman for a major twist? Hashtag nice hat SRS. Sounds like you need to put it back on. I don't know. That was a bigger chat than the one that asked you to take the hat off. So I just feel like you should probably wear it again. I don't know.
The Rollins element is just too busy. Too busy. I don't need that one, that turn as well. And also,
jeez,
super over baby faces aren't like the easiest thing on the planet to make. So
this is the most amount of organically over baby faces we've had in a while, though. I feel like between LA Knight, Jey Uso, Cody, Seth, there's some really, really good stuff. Kevin Owens, you could probably throw in that picture. Sami Zayn, certainly. So refreshing that there are multiple baby faces and they don't all seem the same. Jay Miller saying WrestleMania WrestleMania 1 40th anniversary. I was like, there's been 140 WrestleMania.
There has been.
Anniversary match of Rock, Mr. T, Rock equals Hulk, and Cody equals Mr. Wonderful, and Seth is Rowdy Roddy Piper. I fear only six matches on night one because of this. Damn. Well,
Amanda Huber just posted, talking about an age gap when your own daughters are almost 20 years apart is a wild choice.
Woo. Wow. She did. Damn. She did. This is how we bridge the gap. AEW, WWE, Forbidden Door 4.
let's talk about
Amanda Huber and Teal Rhodes versus Ava Rain.
Yes.
And who else we got?
Ava now. But
who can we find? Naomi, maybe?
Naomi, yeah.
We got somebody in that family.
Wow.
There are some concerns, I feel like, of this taking up a lot of oxygen, as that last chat kind of alluded to, of this is your main event of night one. This is the main event of night two. Do you feel like other things are starting to get lost in the shuffle? I'll start with Cardoza on that, because I feel like Bayley had the best built story that we've had in WWE in a while, as far as long-term stories. And she feels like a little bit more of an afterthought with all of this going on. Do you feel 100. That way? Do you think the undercard is getting lost here?
100%. It definitely has felt like this has become the Rock WrestleMania show now. Like 100%. I just want to put this out there. I don't know what's on the rest of the card, because this has trumped absolutely everything. I know Bayley's involved in her own thing, but they're not putting the emphasis that they are on this huge two-day matchup on anything else. And it's being lost, which sucks, because this is WrestleMania 40, people. That's a big deal.
I think the one thing they should try to do that's gotten the most buzz of anything on social media is nudes in bio.
Oh. I think so, too. Just like square, letter, space, square. Nudes in bio.
For sure. It's all anybody's talking about these days. Also, a thing I want to mention, that Rock entrance looked incredible with the lightning strikes and the camera zoomed in. Like, I know there are a lot of people that don't like the big LED screens. In person, they're very impressive. Like, there are some entrances, like Imperiums, where you look at it and you're like, damn, this is incredible. And it doesn't necessarily resonate nearly as well on TV, but in person, it's very impressive. This was one of those situations where that screen worked really, really well. And the lightning strikes as they zoom in on the Rock with this goofy-ass vest, and he's the Rock. So, like, you just see him there, and he's got the aura, as the kids say. Like, it just radiates off of him. Yep. And it was such – the production of WWE is so much better without Kevin Dunn. And I've said this before. There have been zero times since Kevin Dunn left where I said – you know what? This would be better with Kevin Dunn. It'd be better with more zoom cut shakes, all that stuff. But there were countless times since 2012 where I said, man, Kevin Dunn is washed. He's done. It's over. Get him out of here. Do something new. And there have also been at least a dozen times in the 3 months that he's been gone, the 2.5 months he's been gone, that I've said, man, this new production is incredible.
Yeah.
Guess what we didn't miss? We didn't miss Jordan Grace's Royal Rumble entrance like we did with Edge and AJ Styles and all that stuff. We're not missing big moves. I remember talking to a wrestler who's known for their strikes, and I asked them, why do they do a cut every single time you throw a strike? And they said, well, their reason is so it makes it look better so they can't tell when we miss. And that guy said, if people can tell when we miss that often, we shouldn't be throwing those strikes.
Sure.
So big shout out to the production. I know I went on a rant there, but that entrance fired me up, because under Kevin Dunn, I don't think we get that shot. I think we get The Rock. We get some dude in the fourth row going, some other guy on his phone doing this. We get all that instead of that wonderful shot of The Rock just standing there that really it gave the gravity of the situation as well.
Sure.
Yes. And I feel like, especially with him as heel, all of that kind of, I don't want to say overkill, but a little bit overkill. The extra production, the pomp and circumstance of it is definitely something that adds. But some more Bloodline chats coming in. Thank you, Chris, for throwing this one our way, saying Bloodline rules should be like Mankind Rock 99. 15 people at ringside, all kinds of shenanigans, and babyface wins in the end. I am so over Bloodline interference, but it is the way to send off his reign. It's just not for me, but I feel like that's what they're going to do.
The end of that match featured Austin's music hitting in the middle of the match. And he ran down, hit a guy with a chair, and left. It was so ridiculous. I loved it.
Eddie's saying, Bloodline rules, a Samoan has to call the match or referee. They forget about Jay, and Jay is the one who does the three count for Cody to win the title. Now, there's overbooking in the sense that a lot of people would be involved, and then there's overbooking that detracts from the match. I feel like that would detract from the match, but is there anything you want to see Bloodline rules outside of just who would be allowed to interfere? Are there any other stipulations that you would want to see? Do you want a special guest referee? Is it lumberjacks? Oh, don't do that. But any other rules that aren't just anybody's allowed to come down to the ring?
I think that one kind of encompasses everything. It kind of covers that anything can go, but yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
A non-Bloodline question. Doing you a solid, taking off Mercedes question. Do you know how long her AEW contract is?
It's very clear he was asking Alexis to just get naked there. That's what
yeah, I mean. I can. Nothing to do with your hat earlier.
I do not know. I'm under the impression it's a multi-year deal. I can't imagine that for the amount of money that they are paying her, that they would be like, yeah, 1 year. Let's do 1 year, because she's been on the payroll for 2 months already. So they're already paying her, and I don't even know if she's cleared yet. Like she kind of worked out the severity of that injury during, I think it's the Evan T. Mac interview. Like when there were people that were saying, oh yeah, they wanted to book her for Battle in the Valley against Julia, but no, they didn't. She couldn't wrestle then. She couldn't wrestle then or Wrestle Kingdom. She wasn't cleared at the time of the Royal Rumble. So it's got to be multi-year at the very, very least.
Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. That's kind of all the stuff that we need for Sean, unless you have any last-minute chats.
She's throwing you out, Sean.
Oh, come on. As if you're like, let me stick around to review all of SmackDown anymore. Those are all chats that we have that are related to you. But
one thing I want to say, I am not surprised WWE is starting to sell the real estate in the ring. It's been a long time coming, honestly. Like, and the Prime deal is probably a big one for them. I don't know how that deal's working out yet. I'm going to see what I can find out, because for Logan Paul, that's great, especially for the younger demographic, especially for that. But here's the big thing, especially considering it's TKO ownership. I cannot tell you how many cages, rings I've personally been in, that I've had fighters in, all that, and especially the TKO UFC cage, those logos can be slippery as hell. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, in MMA, you're not wearing wrestling shoes, boots, and the like, so the sweat works a little bit differently, but hopefully there are some safety precautions they're taking. I'm sure they will. WWE is probably ahead of the curve of UFC on something like that, but I think that it was a good move. And Shibugan says, do you think it was unprofessional for Mercedes to talk about going back to WWE before debuting in AEW? So I want to address this, because I have talked to a dozen people in AEW about this, and here's the answer. They don't fucking care. Mm-hmm. They don't care. Nobody cares. It's just not that big of a deal. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's something that a lot of people are grasping on both ways. There are some AEW fans that are saying it's unprofessional. There are some WWE fans that are saying, well, yeah, well, she's clearly only there for the money. Well, congratulations on learning how free agency and business works.
I'm sorry. Also, work. I'm sure no one works for free, including the person who wrote that.
Exactly.
And it's also a dismissal of other quotes that she had in there of saying that she felt like she found a wrestling home in AEW, that she has all this work that she wants to accomplish. So definitely kind of convenience for convenience.
Wait, she's all elite?
Well, she's expected to appear on Wednesday, but you can head over to FightfulSelect.com for more information on that, as well as some other stuff. We had the unfortunate Sammy Guevara suspension news go up earlier, news on Santana's departure. The Q&A went up earlier. That's what I always put over because it's one of my favorite things that Sean does on Fightful Select. Plenty over there on Fightful Select to check out. Best $5 in the business.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. We appreciate you stopping by, Sean. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. A little programming note before I go. We will be interviewing Sean Spears in his first post AEW and NXT interview. It'll be next week. We're going to drop, I don't know what we're dropping. We dropped Otis today. Check that out. Josh Alexander today as well. We got several WWE interviews coming up. But hey, come hang out with me on FightfulSelect.com on the Discord, because I'm going to be watching that UFC 299 tomorrow and talking about it in the MMA section over there on our Discord. So thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Sean.
I'll tell you what, the Discord is popping. If you guys are not on the Discord, if you haven't connected your Fightful Select account yet to your Discord, make sure you do so by heading into your settings and go to the Discord option and just hooking it up, baby.
Say that again, because a lot of people are having issues with it and I haven't joined.
Oh, well, it's first of all, you got to create a Discord account. And I think that if you, when you're on FIFA Select, then you know, you go into your preferences or options. I believe there's a Discord connection button in there. I don't know if you need to have the account already created in Discord, right? And it's free, or if it it automatically prompts you when you connect it, saying, hey, if you don't have an account, you can create one through here. So, but just do it, because
I haven't joined yet because I'm scared.
It's dope. No, you gotta get it. Plus, our shows are on there. We have sections. We need to talk to the people. We're the people,
you
know.
It is true. We do need to interact with all of our wonderful fans.
All of the people.
Well, I hate even joke talking like that, but let's get into some SmackDown, guys. Please leave a thumbs up on this video if you could. And we told you all the great stuff to look out for with Fightful Select. Sean mentioned that he's going to be watching the fight in the Discord. You can check that out. But also on this channel, we also have the Sacrifice post show for TNA coming up. That'll have Joel Pearl on it. So you can check that out as well. But let's get into some SmackDown talk. Now, overall, I got to say this episode was just not for me. This is an episode that has 28 minutes of wrestling that's 2 hours long. I'm sorry. Like, that's just not a Kate episode of wrestling. I'm an in-ring gal. That is me. I love me some in-ring. But I felt like we got some good stuff in here. Just really short match times and not a ton. What did you think overall before we dive into everything here?
It felt like it was just an episode that you were kind of just waiting for the end. That's it. Like, you were literally waiting for that one moment, that 32-minute moment. You know, so
32-minute moment, one entire segment of it, which was just entrances.
We didn't even get the graphic that said, you know, this is the final match that usually Corey Graves likes to give us. It just went straight to them.
Yeah. So let's dive into what we got at the top of the show here, which was Logan Paul addressing the crowd. I give him a lot of credit for shutting up the what chants, because I find them very annoying in this day and age. But he does a good job with this promo. I was surprised by the lack of crowd reaction with some of it, because he does generally garner a lot of crowd reactions, but First, we have him reminding us that his first WrestleMania was, in fact, in Dallas, Texas. Kind of puts himself over, saying that everything he touches turns to gold. He talks about being the most viral superstar that they have, winning the U.S. title in his rookie year, which is all good heel work. And they have KSI hopping into the ring as they're unveiling this Center of the Ring Prime Energy sponsorship, as Sean alluded to earlier. And I was surprised because the crowd didn't really bite. And I thought that was actually a really good chess move. Like, I felt like it was set up well as a heel, and I felt like it was a big deal in reality. And he says that that company and logo will be not only at the canvases at WrestleMania, but for every PLE moving forward. Mm-hmm. And they go to pose together for a photo. Randy Orton's music hits, and he attacks with an RKO from behind, all sneaky-like, which was very well done. Well-timed, because the segment was getting a little bit long in the tooth. Mm-hmm. Randy always speeds things up with that RKO, and he drags KSI's limp body. He did a good job selling, by the way. KSI did a good job selling this, which actually Will Chisholm says in a chat. He says, for a non-wrestler, KSI did a good job selling the RKO. You got to have a good sell on the RKO. It's the RKO, right? But Randy Orton brings his lifeless body to the center of the ring and pours Prime Energy all over, as Taz would say, the yam bag. His wee-wee. There's a segue that I'm going to get to very shortly, but that was kind of the net of the segment. So there were rumors, not from Fightful, that maybe this is going to turn into a Logan Paul KSI tag match versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. That feels like maybe like a WrestleMania SmackDown to me rather than an actual WrestleMania event. I think you want mm-hmm. that title defended properly. But what did you think of our opening segment here? I know you're a huge Logan Paul
fan. I'm a huge KSI and Logan Paul fan. I'm probably one of the biggest. I have posters and empty Prime bottles everywhere in here. You know what? Well done. Well done. I'm a Tony Khan shill paid for by AEW. But I'd like to put this out there for WWE fans. Very well done. He's so comfortable as of late on the microphone. He's delivering the promos the way that someone who's been in the business for a long time does it. And you know what? He can back it up with his physicality. So I don't know what story they're building out here. I don't even know where the U.S. title picture goes. What's going on with that? That is the only part that I'm confused on.
Yeah, you know? It definitely felt like we were headed toward a triple threat with Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, yes. and Logan Paul. And now today feels like they might have switched directions, but I think it might just be that we still have another month of programming. Sure. But if your energy isn't so prime, Alex.
Oh, tell me about this.
If you're not quite Cody Rhodes, but you can't quite call yourself The Rock, you know what I mean? BlueChew.com, code Fightful is here for
you. We need to talk about your mailman. Doesn't need to know your business, doesn't need to know you're looking to have better sex. Fortunately, Blue Chew is here. It arrives in a discreet package. But let's get back to the start. Maybe you want that performance, that edge in bed. Blue Chew has you covered. So, here's the deal. You take their online consultation, and if approved, you get a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis for a fraction of the price. Not just that, no awkward doctor's visits in person, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Prescribed online, shipped straight to your door. But mailman's not going to know what's in that package. But somebody's going to know what your package is bringing. Maybe it is the mailman or mailwoman. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they want you to drop something off by their back door. Well, with Blue Chew, you're going to be able to do that. Use the code FIGHTFUL. BlueChew.com.
I feel attacked every time you start that read, but it's okay.
No, it's not directed at you. It's directed at everyone.
I'm still working, baby.
Well played. Well played. Well,
it's all a work, Kate. It's all a work.
It's all a work. We're out here working. All right. But we dive into our first match of the night, which is a tag team match between Orton and Kevin Owens versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Decent match, perfectly serviceable match here. We get an ending where Kevin Owens stuns Waller and kind of tosses Theory to Randy Orton for the pop-up RKO, which always looks so good. Sometimes they have that little extra snap on it with those pop-up ones, and they are a lot of fun, but that'll do it for the match. And then post-match, Logan Paul attacks both men from behind. He's got those brass knucks with him. You think a single referee might think to take them away from him, but post-match, a little bit easier of a pill to swallow than, say, when you're in elimination chamber. But he gets the knucks ready, and Logan runs away, leading up to Randy and nearly hitting Owens, who seems understanding as Logan Paul heads back. And you get Randy Orton keeping the brass knucks here. So maybe his kryptonite is gone. Maybe that's what we're going to find out. But this tag match was perfectly fine. I'm hoping we're leading toward an Austin Theory, Grayson Waller split in this or something. Grayson Waller came up with super fire for a while. He was beating Legend. Well, he wasn't beating Legends. He was in the ring with Legends, not picking up wins, but having these really, really great showcases. Big spot in Australia for the Grayson Waller effect to have Cody Rhodes and Seth on it. But just feels like he's just been kind of around. And I'm noticing as we're building toward WrestleMania, there's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of guys who just felt like they were hot and kind of feel like they're just around now. The Creed brothers, for example. We're going to talk about this Lashley and Karrion Kross stuff in a minute, but that doesn't really feel like it's going anywhere. So there are some people that I would like to see kind of livened up here, but I think you could do easily an Austin Theory, Grayson Waller match on a pre-show. Maybe if they wake those back up again, I'd hope that's a change that TKO maybe makes of putting matches on the pre-show. But we'll see what's to come of this. But tonight, a serviceable match and advances the Logan Paul story a little bit here. What did you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Like we said before, like what they're doing with Waller and Austin Theory, like everything's felt like not even secondary, like 10th. Tentiaries, that's not a word. I'm Puerto Rican. I can make things up as I go.
It is now.
But it's like, what are we doing with the rest of the team here? You know, I want to know. I'm really invested. This is WrestleMania season. This is really this and Survivor Series are my two favorite times of the year. I feel like I'm trying to feel out what they're doing with these gents, and I'm a little lost. I feel dumb sometimes just even trying to explain it because I'm not a writer. Tell me what you're doing, damn it.
Well, Bad Robot thinks that we're gonna get Sammy, Kevin Owens, and Randy Paul.
Wow.
Randy, what? Mm-hmm. Sammy, KO, and Randy versus Logan Paul, Theory, and Lawler. Dyslexia is hard. that gets Sammy on the card too. Sammy is a little bit lost in the shuffle right now as well. I wouldn't be stunned to see that turn into a triple threat. He's sniffing around the picture kind of for Gunther's title as well. So I have confidence they'll get him on there because he is a top babyface. But I would love to see KO and Sammy reunited. Maybe that's what's to come of it. But we went our separate ways, and to get on the Mania card, we have to get back together or whatever. I just hate stories that are, how do I get on the Mania card? Like, we have so many of them, and it gets really tiresome. I would say Sami Zayn is one of the best at it, if not the best at telling that story, because it's just very easy to root for that guy. I think we probably end up with that triple threat, but I think there's possible tag action on that SmackDown before WrestleMania. So we move along here. Now, I did say there were 2 minutes and 24 seconds of women's wrestling on this card, which is not nearly enough. But we did have multiple women's segments, which is always good, including this Bayley interview. What I just said about Sami Zayn, I find to be true with Bayley as well. It's very easy to get behind her. This story has been well built. The Dakota turn was a little bit too obvious last week, but for the more recent weeks and months of this story, I feel like it's been really strong, and that Bayley has looked smart as a babyface. She saw all of this coming. But in this interview with Kayla, she says that, you know, Dakota Kai did get the best of her mentally and emotionally, and that she saw this coming, but a lot of the bad stuff that Bayley did was for her team. Like, it was in service of the very people that are betraying her, and now she's going into this WrestleMania title match alone, which is interesting because I think there's openings maybe to have some equalizers. I just don't want to see that in our women's picture and for Cody Roman. I don't need that kind of redundancy. That would that would wear very thin on me very quickly. But then after this, we have Bianca and Naomi who are watching in the back, and Naomi basically just says that she feels bad for Bayley, and we get this kind of logical heelish side of Bianca that I really like. And she says, you don't know what it was like because you were gone for 2 years, but these women were coming after me over and over and over and over and over again constantly, and they made her life a living hell. So she doesn't have any empathy for Bayley, and I like that from Bianca for the same reason that I love what they're doing with Drew McIntyre on Mondays, and that it feels heelish, but it comes from a place that's extremely relatable.
Sure.
I am also intrigued to see, speaking of people that aren't on the Mania card and definitely should and will be, Bianca and a returning Naomi obviously should be. So I'm intrigued to see the way that that shakes out, but I really liked both of these segments. I thought Bayley did a great job in her interviews. She has such emotional appeal, very easy to buy into what she's doing. And then I liked seeing this little edge from Bianca. I don't know if it's full heel or anything, but a little bit less just like pure baby faceness from her is a refreshing side to see. I like that we're getting a different layer of her. What do you think of these segments?
Yeah, you know, the damage control story is so good. It took some weird twists and turns to get to where it's at now, but I feel like it's really strong. This is honestly, I've been watching Bayley since the first real NXT was on, NXT 1.0. And just she's doing the best work, man, of her career. I'm just being honest with you. I'm so behind her. And obviously, you know, Bianca. It's cool because Bianca was starting to become like that corny baby face, you know, with the corny one-liners and the goody-goody. And, you know, like
there was just nowhere else for her to go to.
Yeah,
like, she had been so dominant and so protected for so long. It was getting Cena-esque. So, yeah, I'm with you there.
So with this sprinkle of spice that she's bringing, like she can still remain a baby face, but she's going to tell you straight up, like, dude, you weren't here for 2 years and all the BS that I had to put up with these people. Let them tear each other apart. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not wrong to say. I love that. And if it brings us into, you know, some type of feud with Naomi, it'd be great. Because even just watching Naomi stand there, watching the television, was like, you know, I'm still waiting to see what they want out of her. Like, where does she fit in? Because right now, she doesn't feel to me personally like she fits into anything yet. Obviously, she just got back. But a lot of the time when they bring people back, like, the stories really take off.
And also, with her, she just got back. You don't want to waste the return, right?
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, they did not strike when the iron was hot. And right now, the iron's just, it's fizzled a little bit. So I'm hoping that something big happens with it. Didn't she lose to Tiffy?
She did.
Yeah. She lost a lot of
her singles matches.
Yeah. There you go.
But Will saying, I did love the combo between Bianca and Naomi. It felt real, all because Bayley is a baby face now. Bianca has a right to not trust Bayley because of their history. And we love Bianca. Forget them 2K haters. Yeah. She was getting a lot of just plain racism. It's so gross and disgusting, but
it's so bad.
That does give me the opportunity, because there was some of this nonsense online too, to just say that wrestling is for everyone and Fightful is for everyone, and that we have the best moderator in the world, Luis, and he'll kick out anybody who's an asshole, because it's International Women's Day and trans women are women too. So
yes,
if you don't like that, you can see your way out of here, because everybody is safe and free to hang out in our chat exactly as they are. So what up?
People are weird.
People are.
God, I've been having the worst time on Twitter lately. Sometimes it transcends and people notice it. So I apologize if you guys have seen me be kind of weird and mean online. But it's just because people are just, it got a little bit under my skin for the last couple of days. So I'm back.
It happens. You're a human being. But I genuinely have no idea how Sean does it, because it's beyond with him. But I'll tell you what's beyond, and that's my interest in this feud, because it is not very good, unfortunately. before this match started, I knew how it was going to end. I'm unfortunately, like, Lashley and Cross is something that I wanted to see. I wanted to see the in-ring of it. Again, all the matches were sub 10 minutes tonight. I feel like this would have been better if it had just become a little bit more of a brawl. But the problem is you had them not facing each other for so many weeks in a row, and they didn't really build up any heat with that. It was just like all these weird little promos and skirmishes that didn't really have enough teeth. So it didn't feel like we were getting any sort of blow off, in my opinion. But we have a Death Valley driver from Cross, which gets two. So he goes for it again, but Bobby slips free and hits the spine buster. He goes for the spear, but then AOP come in and break this up to cause the DQ. Surprise! The Street Profits show up, and the brawl is now between everyone. You got a ton of interplay here, but in the ring, you get Bobby with a flatliner to Cross, and he goes for the Hurt Lock. Scarlett's getting involved, and so her and B-Fab start to fight, and B-Fab lays in a Stephanie McMahon-level slap, I feel like. It was a good one. It was a good one. But this just ends in brawl, 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 Cross with the final prayer to Bobby, and the heels are standing tall at the end of this, kind of insinuating that this is going to continue down the mountain a little bit more, but it just feels like this got derailed, 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 and that's the second time now with Cross, actually. The whole AJ Styles program was like two-minute match, nothing, nothing, ironically because of some Bloodline segments, like the Roman and Usos trial thing was one of the times that segment got derailed. So I like this version of the Testament. Like, I think this is the best we've probably gotten from Cross from a character standpoint in a really long time. I love AOP. I'm a mark for them. So that makes me happy to see them back. And I always love Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, but Street Profits were once a very important tag team. And Montez Ford was like singles action, going to be a star potential. And now they just feel like interference lackeys, which is not a good use of them. Like, they need to have some tag matches that make them feel important again. Like, Montez is a freak athlete, and you don't want to miss out on some of his best years here because they're getting caught up in this overcooked creative a little bit. Yeah. But match was fine. I just feel like the intensity might have been a little bit better if it was more like a brawl to start rather than an obvious DQ devolving into a brawl. But what were your thoughts?
I feel like the Street Profits have completely kind of fallen off. Like, I they kind of become just this, you know, backup team for Bobby Lashley. Not a bad thing. Bobby Lashley is incredible, and it's great to see them together. But they're nowhere near any top of the food chain in the tag team division anymore. Bobby Lashley's insane. I love Bobby Lashley. He's just this feud with the final testament, right? I'm saying that right. I still haven't felt it. I haven't felt, and I guess I wasn't feeling like that as well for Judgment Day. And then they kind of blew up and became what they are now, you know, or work. They're kind of just not hitting either. And I don't know. I hope that this turns to be something bigger, because I really love Karrion Kross as well. And I love AOP. And I think that this group that they have together could be super badass in this new faction era of WWE. So I'm hoping they get this together. I don't know. This feud is like, okay, cool. Like, how do they end it? First blood match? Like, give me something cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Final Testament's a badass group. So, like, let's just put everyone together and just beat the crap out of each other. That'd be pretty fun to watch. And then just separate everyone on the Bobby Lashley side. Let the Street Profits go back to being one of the greatest tag teams in the modern day of WWE, because I thought that that's where they were headed.
Yes, and they were. And I think, you know, they really just switched from heel to face very quickly with it felt like no creative lined up. So I think that's probably part of the issue here, but they're great. And I think Angelo Dawkins improved so much since we first started seeing him. And Montez Ford is obviously a charisma machine with one of the best frog splashes you've ever seen, and a ton of athleticism and agility. So some good stuff there. Yeah, there you go. I have not watched the show with him and Bianca, but I will.
Neither have I.
We love.
Yeah. We love love.
Some more fantasy booking for Miss Naomi. Saying, I think Apex Calibre says, I think Naomi should get Jimmy out of the bloodline, or she should just join the bloodline. And we get bloodline versus JD Day intergender. I wish we had intergender wrestling on television, but I also understand not wanting to broadcast simulated violence between a man and a woman. That makes a ton of sense. My argument is that you see portrayals of that are abusive all over television and in movies. So why can't we have wrestling? But I understand why TV networks would want to shy away for something, especially on a product that's directed at kids. But I don't think we'll be seeing that anytime soon, unfortunately. But check out the indies for some great intergender wrestling. It's all over there. It's all over there. But yeah, I think there's going to be some interesting pieces that still shake out. And we do still have about a month, right, for WrestleMania. So I think it's going to be interesting, especially on the women's side. I think Tiffany Stratton went from someone you want to see on the card to someone you now have to see on the card after Elimination Chamber. Jade, Naomi, and Bianca all have yet to find a path. It does feel like we're not getting the story of how do I get on the card, like I mentioned earlier. So I appreciate that. Like, hopefully they're going to have some creative developments there. Or they'll just all get thrown at a battle royal, and that'll be a bummer. But
yes, that's exactly what I feel that's going to happen.
I'm like, please don't do that. But speaking of Tiffy Time, we have Tiffany Stratton and Mee Chin with a 2 minute and 24 second match here. There's not a ton to be able to say, but you got Mee Chin throwing a suplex in this, and she goes for the Styles Clash on Tiffany with an Alabama Slam. But then we get a prettiest moonsault ever. She hits it and gets the pin. A little bit of a bobble there. She's been a little less consistent on the main roster with that prettiest moonsault ever than she was in NXT, but she's great. She's really great. And it's very cool to see how far she's come and how short of a time she's been doing this. So some really good stuff. And Mee Chin is great too. Like I hope they get her on a track that is more than just woman who makes other people look good and eats a pinfall. Yeah. Cause she's really good. And she does some incredibly cerebral and logical things in the ring that I always appreciate. Mm-hmm. It's like, she doesn't have a technical style, but she almost has a technical mindset in the way that she uses it to counter a lot of things. Just very creative in that way. So, I mean, I don't know what to say about this. It was 2 minutes and 24 seconds. There's not a ton to dig into, except that Tiffany Stratton continuing to pick up wins and look important going into WrestleMania. Would love something more substantive for Mee Chin, but no major complaints about what we got tonight other than the shortened time period.
Yeah, no, the women, not the girls. I have tendency to say that. I apologize.
Say the boys all the time.
The women did a great job for the amount of time that they had, because I knew they had a 32 minute segment coming up towards the end of the show. But I'll tell you what, man, you women, in a good way, before I get canceled, sure have a lot to put up with. I say this respectfully. I wish that I had as much support in everything that I do as the women of wrestling do with their dresses and their tops and stuff, because she's fighting in nothing but this top, and then she's doing these insane moves, and Mee Chin is getting it on her, and like, my goodness, kudos to the person who makes the wardrobe for the women. Because you know, that's hard. It's insane. And it's just cool to see, like, her moonsault. She did something where she climbed twice onto the corner. I don't know if maybe she like her she missed her step or something like that.
No, she does the hop up the ropes thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Once she got up there the second time and she just flew, man, it was like poetry motion, man.
Yeah,
I talk about Julia Hartz as well, but that was just beautiful. This woman just, and she hit it.
Yes.
Like, perfect. I was like, yo, good on Mee Chin to know like exactly where she was at as well.
Yes. You know, she's really good at making other women look great in the ring. Like, she's very helpful with that. But we got a chat from Beat Normus who says, happy International Women's Day, Minion 69, 0069. Well, thank you so much. Happy Friday, Senor Cardoza. WWE celebrated it with less than 3 minutes of women's wrestling. It is. It is diarrhea, as Seth Rollins would say. But I will say there were 3 women segments at least, so you had additional movement. But sure. It's when you have an entire segment that is entrances, it is maddening to sit here and see that. Well, we get a couple more backstages here. We get an AJ Styles video promo calling out LA Knight for stepping over his body. And he just kind of says that WWE is a cutthroat place to be and LA Knight's overachieving and under-talented. He intends to humble him. Then you have LA Knight, who's still holding a chair, hitting a TV, and saying that he's got to wake everybody up since AJ bores them to death. He just keeps hitting the TV, promises more retribution is on the way. I kind of like what they're setting up with this because it's an under, like the underlying thing to me is kind of like all-time work rate guy versus all-time talker, and they're gonna go at each other for that, right? You're gonna see LA Knight calling AJ Styles boring over and over again, and you're gonna have AJ Styles saying that LA Knight is not at the in-ring level that he is, and both of those things are a little bit true. I'm not saying AJ's a boring promo, but LA Knight's probably a stronger one.
What are you saying, Kate?
I'm not saying LA Knight can't work.
What do you mean?
AJ Styles is the phenomenal one, right? So I think that's a fun crux for a feud, and to see that underlying story get kind of elevated in these segments, I think is a good logical step for this feud to take. Where are your thoughts?
You know, AJ's been kind of silent. I would only hope that this actually turns to something big. And we have, I don't know, I really don't want LA Knight to lose, man. If this is something that they're going to move forward with, like, LA Knight's another one. I thought WrestleMania season was going to elevate a lot of these talents that we've been behind the last couple weeks and months since turning the new year. And it seems like they've kind of taken a big step backwards. I thought that LA Knight was going to be directly pushed into the, U.S. title scene, that hasn't happened. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. Also, I found it weird that you got, not weird, but you got mad and you beat the crap out of a television. You're talking to yourself in the chair. Like, come on, man. Why the TV got to go down like that? You know what I'm saying? But
AJ put him to sleep. They had to wake him up.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that, I don't know. I don't know what I hope because I just, LA Knight, I really love what he was doing. And now he's beating up TVs. It does feel cooled off. Yeah.
It does feel cooled off.
And he only said yeah once. It seems like even the yeah has gone away.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I beat up this TV. Yeah.
Yeah. Pulowski! What up?
Hello. How are you? I know I didn't realize that I was on the thing.
Well, sir, what you were doing was not indecent, so you're fine.
That's yeah, no, it's good. I normally I just pick my nose in the nude, so I'm super happy that I wasn't doing either of those things.
While I would definitely, if we were doing that, brought you on camera. That's 100%.
Oh, that would have been great.
You on for sure. Right. But
wonderful.
Good. Alex, you're here for a little segment that we call the Sour Fower, because sour and four are spelled the same way, but they are not pronounced the same way until now.
Until now. Alex Pulowski, they are now. They are now.
Is here to tell us.
If one thing is pronounced one way, it should be either the sore four or the sour fower. I'm sorry.
It's not dry. It's about sour.
That's right.
We stay hungry. We devour.
That's right. That's right. So,
but Alex, what are 4 things you didn't like? Because we have have 4 of our own for this episode, certainly.
WWE choosing to sponsor their ring, the center of their ring, with I will say a highly addictive substance aimed and marketed to children. I won't call it the other thing I called it behind the paywall. Go behind the paywall to find out what I called it back there. But it is a highly addictive substance marketed exclusively to children. So maybe we shouldn't be doing that.
Fair.
That's bad. So that's number one. Number two, 2 minutes of women's wrestling on International Women's Day. Mm. It doesn't feel very international to me. That's but you could fit five of those matches into one Dwayne the Rock Johnson promo on social media.
Just literally, an entrance, just one of the entrances that we saw tonight.
If you say, okay, I'm gonna put the Tiffany Stratton Mee Chin match on repeat on this phone and on this phone, I have two phones. I'm going to just watch Dwayne the Rock Johnson talk while wearing a cowboy hat at an empty rodeo venue. This one watching five times would be over before this one would be.
Wow, yeah.
That's not good. I don't like that. So a lot of talking, too much talking for me. The LA Knight thing, feeling like it's like, okay, we're going to cool you off to the point where you're going to be on an undercard match with AJ Styles. It'll feel like a good match, but like, this is the guy you should be like strapping a rocket to. And it feels like they're actively just hindering him. And that's mm-hmm. that feels like the bad old days where you were like, you got over because, and we didn't want you to.
Right.
So we are going to sell merch for as long as we feel like we can, and then we're just going to just bury you. I don't know if they're actually going to fully bury him, but it doesn't feel like it's important anymore. I guess this is not really a sour one. Maybe this is the opposite of Rock didn't call anybody crackheads tonight.
No,
that was good.
But Roman did call people crossdressers or call.
Yeah, that was all. That was that'll be number three. Just calling somebody a crossdresser when specifically tonight, like we've seen some outfits on Seth Rollins on other episodes that feel a lot more like they were bought in the women's department of JCPenney's than this one. You know what I mean? So if you're going to drop that one, at least do it on a night where it's fully,
where it's this is just, he's wearing a big true,
where it's more
or better
true.
Yet. Don't do it.
I'm just saying,
one.
Don't do it. But if you're going to do it on a night where you're going to, oh yeah, at sense. Least, I mean, and then what's number four?
Was that four?
Whatever.
Prime women's match being too short. LA Knight being cooled off and
no, well just no. How about full entrance for Roman Reigns, 7 minutes long.
Jesus, dude.
Followed immediately by full entrance for The Rock. Now listen, my proclivities when it comes to watching wrestling is wrestling. For other people, I can see from my timeline what they want is people walking places slowly to music and then climbing a set of stairs, a very short set of stairs, climbing through some ropes and then standing there and making a gesture with one finger. That is what a certain segment of the population wants out of their television viewing experience. And to those people, I say congratulations. You get what you want.
It's true.
But I don't. So
that's very fair. That's a very fair point. How was Rampage?
Good. I mean,
sounds like a partner.
I mean, it was fine. The Julia Hart continues to be amazing, but her match was very short. Not as short as Tiffany Stratton versus Mee Chin, but also short. The shortest match on the show. Kip Sabian and the Butcher. Kip Sabian looks like he got injured. That sucks.
Oh, that sucks.
He was being attended to by people at ringside after he got hurt. So best friends won. Actually, Andretti and Penta had a very good match. If there was a match to seek out, I would say it's that.
Nice.
Penta won that one, and the Top Flight Boys won the Three Corners tag match, which was contended, of course, with only two guys lingo in the ring at the same time. So the bad way. Soraya's brother, who looks like the Great Value brand version of Karrion Kross, and I can't unsee it. It's like we have Karrion Kross at home. Like I don't know what he's like in the ring. I've never seen him wrestle. I'm just talking about the way he presents himself backstage. That is what he looks like to me. But he beat up a poor guy backstage. Also, oh. Ruby Soho says she hates Soraya because apparently the attack on Ange Parker may have torn some ligaments, she says. So I don't know if this is entirely a work or if it's like a work to cover an actual injury that he's taking time off for. But either way, weird. So
weird indeed.
Weird indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for our little Rampage rundown.
When's your when is your guys's best guess for when we actually get anywhere with this Bobby Lashley versus Karrion Kross feud? Because I'm thinking SummerSlam of 2025. I'm thinking maybe by then they'll actually figure out what we're doing with this. Has this been going on for literal months? Because it feels like it has to me.
It's going on since the year 2023.
Day one of 2026. You're now you're cheating. You are over on sourness. We're taking you off screen. That was like a sour six. He's out of here.
Just got kicked out.
We booted Alex. Okay.
I won't silence
sour at all. That's not even there's no way to say six for sour because it would just be sour again. But we already talked about our main event, so we don't have a ton left to talk about. That's here. True. So last call for super chats and humper chats. Will chimed in saying it's funny when AJ did a program with Randy. Randy said, "You are nothing but an independent wrestler," and now in some ways AJ is doing that to LA Knight. I think I don't know if the reputation for indie wrestler is that you can't work, but I think you're right in that the story was like you can't work in WWE. So I like what you're saying. I kind of like the parallel there, but I appreciate things that are, because I'm a nerd, stories that are based around actual wrestling. So like the idea like you talk and you can't work is something that I like, and the idea that you work but you can't talk is something I like. Like you're just talking about other people's strengths and weaknesses.
Sure.
But Miss Manda says, got to throw it up for Kate. I know I said it on Twitter, but I appreciate you on International Women's Day. Big voice for us. Thanks, NJ friend. Well, thank you, Amanda. Amanda is the best of us, man.
And Manda, thank you. That was your first super chat on our live stream. So thank you for that. Celebrating first super chats. Let's go.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm on top of things, man.
You are on top of things. Miss Amanda will also hang out with me sometimes when I'm watching your former Maximum Male Models, Mansoor and Mason or Brennan, whatever you know him as. They have a really fun Twitch channel.
Yeah,
yesterday they spent a bunch of time talking about Muppets versus Sesame Street and who was over in those feds, and Bear with the Big Blue Couch couldn't draw a dime, but they loved him anyway. Damn. It was a lot of fun. So go follow good old Manny and Mason. They're a bunch of fun.
Yeah.
Second Lieutenant Colonel photo saying, "Happy International Women's Day. Best bangs in the biz." Well, thank you. I appreciate it very, very much.
Indeed.
But we move along here. We get some Deckers playing video games, as Louise pointed out. Not really a ton to talk about that. So we'll swing in away from that video game promo into Dragon Lee defeating Angel Garza, which was good to see Dragon Lee back. It's been a dang minute. And Jay Miller agrees with me. He says, assuming it's a dude, Jay could be Janet, it could be Jan, it could be Jennifer, it could be a lot of things. But assuming it's a fella here, sorry, I think this was a dude in previous chat saying, glad to see Dragon Lee back on television. He's one of the best luchadors I've ever seen at only 28 years old. Has a bright future, hopefully, in WWE. He's excellent. I saw a lot of his ROH work. He's wonderful. He gave Dominic Mysterio probably his best match, did a lot of great work in NXT. So I am very into him being back. Just seemed like they were waiting for an opening in the story, but we had a good little match here. I do feel like Angel Garza is one of the most charismatic wrestlers that they have. And because we've been getting Garza and Carrillo kind of in dribs and drabs, I would like to see that a little bit more supported, because it kind of feels like they lost the charm a little bit with that. But nothing too bad here. A great match, probably the best match of the night. But again, another like 7 minutes and change kind of thing that ends with Dragon Lee looking for the Operation Dragon, but running into a thrust kick. And Angel tries to get him up for the pop-up power bomb, but Lee counters him with the Hurricane Rana for the pin. I really liked that ending. I thought it was a nice button onto things. I would just like to see a little bit more of Angel Garza, because he is so cool and so suave and so smooth. I would like to see that personality get to shine a little bit more, but I like what we got tonight. And always great to see Dragon Lee in the ring. Nice to see him back here. Your thoughts on this match here?
Good to see my Latinos back on television, you know, in full force. The LWO storyline, and it's not getting that stagnant with me, because you know why? Carlos is keeping it alive. I love how he continues to blame Rey. This is because of you. You can tell after the match, he's, you know, and he beats down Dragon Lee. He's pointing at the screen and screaming, "This is all because of you. This is all because of you." Like, he keeps it alive, which is great. He is on fire when he does, when he's like with Legado, with all of them, and just kind of just like, you know, mandating the group, like telling them what to do and where to go, and he just looks like a badass heel, man. Like, yes, he is the el jefe, the boss, you know. So I can't wait to see where this goes. This might be a super match between, you know, the LWO and Legado de Fantasma, but I do hope, I don't want Legado to take the pin, man. Really, like, I want them to go over. Like, there's absolutely no I'm sorry, LWO is not as strong as Legado. There is absolutely no reason to have LWO outside of just having, you know, Rey Mysterio get a pop, win this. I think this should set up the future.
Yeah,
that's just me.
No, you're right in that. I think I agree with you that Legado getting the win would be the smart move here, because I think it does a lot more for Santos Escobar than it would 100%. For Rey Mysterio in this part of his career. But before this, we did also, I would be remiss if I forgot to mention the recap that we had of Rey Mysterio returning last week after his knee surgery and kind of everything that was going on between them. And you have Santos Escobar saying that Rey and LWO are dead and gone, and the present and future is Legado, and Dragon Lee is nothing, he says before this match. Mm-hmm. They were shoving each other a little bit here, so we did get that setting up this match earlier, but that's all we have for today, Alex, because the rest of the show was the segment that we already talked about. Your match times were 9:46, 8:37, 2:24, and 7:15, so very talk-heavy episode tonight, but that is our show. Let me just double-check that we don't have any remaining chats, but glad to see Dragon leaving.
Good night, everybody. No.
Basically, but yes, stay tuned for, it's probably underway at this point, but we do have the TNA Sacrifice post-show going on, so be sure to check that out, TNA. Back on a roll, Mustafa Ali in the ring, Alex Hammerstone, good stuff happening in TNA world, so catch that post show. Of course, Grapsody and Collision around the corner this weekend as well. But Alex, where can the people find you?
You good people, you wonderful, beautiful people here of the intraweb. You can find me on X, Twitter. Nah, I never want to call it X. I just wanted to be correct, and I hate myself for that. _ Alexis Cardoza, where you will see people attack me every single day for my thoughts, because apparently, because I'm a writer, I should be unbiased. I said, no, I get paid to speak my mind. Have you ever watched Stephen A. Smith on ESPN? You can also find me on Instagram at Alexis Cardoza, which is also the same thing on Threads. If you're on Threads, which is, they have a wonderful community there. They love me. And follow me on my YouTube channel. I'm trying to change the name of it because it's a little long, but you can find me under youtube.com Alexis Cardoza Films. I'm trying to just change it to my name so that it's shorter for everyone to find, but it's Alexis Cardoza Films. Go in there, check it out. We're going to be adding a ton of new shows and videos and all kinds of crap. So trying to build things up little by little again. 2024.
All kinds of crap.
Hey, well, I call it crap.
You can catch me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can catch me on Fightful most nights of the week. Monday on Fightful Select with Alex doing the Sour Grapes post show. Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday doing NXT, ROH, and SmackDown, obviously, respectively. And Wednesdays at the Mark Order Podcast at Mark Order Pod. Check it out. Check us out. We talk all things All Elite. There's also the Saturday Collider Cast, which I might hop on tomorrow as well. But I think I'm going to be in celebration of a friend's birthday, Mr. Cassidy Haynes from Body Slam is going to be in the area. So probably be hanging out with that wonderful fella. But guys, have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We're out of here.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.